Live from Legendary Music Row in Nashville, Tennessee, Sam Ash Music proudly presents just two verses and a chorus shy of a hit song. It's Scott and Hino and the Music Row Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Music Row Show, brought to you this hour by Sam Ash Music Stores.
Yay.
Yeah. The numbers to call in are 737-WLAC.
800-688-WLAC.
Or *WLAC on your Verizon Wireless.
And you know, you can also email your questions into the show by clicking on to mail@themusicrowshow.com. When you do, you're automatically entered to win whatever D'Addario Planet Waves product of the month is.
That's right.
And this week is the beginning of a brand new month for us, so we're going to be giving away the Planet Waves Chordmaster Tuner. And it's a metronome, it's a tuner, and it's a chord dictionary.
All in one.
All in one. It's very, very cool. And we should have, we have a winner.
We do. Let me draw it out of the hat.
Is that your drawing out of the hat sound effect?
Yes, it is. The winner is...
That was the worst sound effect I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I mean, it's hard to do ping pong balls in a big, you know... come on. Anyway, the winner this month is Lori Bumgarner. She's right here in Nashville. And so, Lori, if you're listening, you've just won a tuner. We'll send you an email, and we'll work out how we can get that to
Not
you.
Not just a tuner. She won one of the True Strobe tuners,
That's
right?
Right. The best tuner ever.
Yeah.
That's just a tuner. You know, the Chordmaster is the best tuner ever. That's also a chord dictionary, metronome, and tuner.
Keep digging, baby. This is fun to watch.
It is, isn't it? Anyway, Lori, congratulations. You'll be hearing from us soon.
All right. Well, you know, thanks for hanging out with us. We're spending the evening talking about all things Americana music. And one of my favorite singers out there today, the amazing Raul Malo, is going to be with us this hour. And remember, if you missed this last hour with Jed Hilly, you can always listen to past shows by clicking the podcast page.
It's easy for you to say.
True Strobe Tuner podcast page on www.themusicrowshow.com.
Yeah.
So let's do some quick shout out, shall we?
Yeah.
Pay
well,
some bills.
We wanna thank LR Bags for staying with us. They're back as a sponsor again. Actually, they never left, but they're sticking with us, and we wanna make sure that everybody knows about their great products, which are of course the Acoustic Reference Amp, which we've been talking about the last couple of months, and the M1 pickup, which is that's the hot new pickup I'm seeing all these guys play out on the road. It's a great, great sounding pickup for your acoustic guitar when you're out on stage in loud, you know, you're playing in a loud environment.
Yeah.
No feedback, nothing like that.
Well, you know, and something else that's kind of cool about them, I was on the Larrivé Guitar Forum this week, and they had a whole thread on LR Bags and their customer service. Somebody bought a used guitar with a Bags pickup, and they were able to get right to customer service. It wasn't working. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And even though it was a used guitar and there was no warranty on it, they totally took really good care of this guy. And so he was just gushing about it. And then other people were chiming in saying, yeah, I've had to call them before too, and they're just amazing. So, you know, it's one of the neat things about this show is, you know, we're actually able to pick and choose who we want to work with as far as sponsors and stuff. And so we're really proud to be able to wave the banner for LR Bags.
Absolutely. You know, another thing we'd love to wave the banner about is NashvilleMuse.com is having their third Sunday
in
2 weeks. And that's always a great, great thing to go to.
Have you ever done that, Ro?
No.
It's a guy named Doak who's around town, and he's a big proponent of songwriters. And the third Sunday of every month at his house, it's this huge potluck, and like 300 songwriters show up every month, and everybody brings a hot dish, and all the rooms
and
are
some
just,
food.
Oh my gosh.
But they also bring guitars, and everybody sits around in little groups.
All the rooms are full of players. Everybody hangs out, and then people just kind of start bouncing from room to room.
Sounds frightening.
It's the biggest guitar
There's songwriters there? Man, you got to stay away.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Guitar and food, so that's always
good. And he does this every Sunday?
Third Sunday of every month.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's great for networking, and you never know who's going to show up. I mean, I'll sit there with people who – you know.
Let's go. Are they on the night?
No, two weeks. I'll give you a call.
Yeah, you can check out our website. There's a link for Nashville Muse, and I'm sure there are some details there.
Absolutely. Well, let's give some Sam Ash appreciation, shall we?
You know, before we do that, I want to make sure everybody knows about Salon Legacy is one of our sponsors, and they're doing something special for Music Row Show listeners this month. Especially the ladies out there. Anybody who purchases a color or a highlight gets a free shampoo and a blow dry, and that's like, you know, $60 cheaper than you normally get.
You almost said that wrong.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
No. You so heard that.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Possibly. He said it fine.
There you go. Anyway, check them out. They're in Franklin here on Carruthers right next to Mexicali Grill, so that's a great deal for people. Now, Sam Ash. Let's talk about Sam Ash a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to be there September 23rd.
23rd,
right?
We're going to be doing our thing again.
Yeah, we just do a little they open up the acoustic room and we bring in a hit songwriter to come in and give a little clinic, and we usually have some tchotchkes, some giveaways, our friends at Larrave and D'Addario Planet Waves, and it's a fun thing. It's we'll have some people get up and sing, and then we're going to get a hit writer come in. I'm not going to say who it is yet.
No,
it's a
we
big
can't do
big
that.
Surprise.
Absolutely.
I mean, we haven't secured anybody yet. But
hey, Ralph. Oh, what's going on
here? He said hit songwriter.
Hey, I mean, I can count them out for you. You've had a lot of hits.
Anyways, it's a good time. And, you know, I'm so happy to be part of the Sam Ash family there. As you know, we were talking about this last hour. Jerry Reed just passed on this week. And I was over at the acoustic guitar room over at Sam Ash talking to Kevin, and he was playing this video, a DVD of Jerry and Chet Atkins.
Man.
And he said on Wednesday, one of Chet Atkins' sidemen wandered in and sat there and watched the whole thing and was telling Kevin stories about, man, I remember that show. And you know, the neat thing about having a Sam Ash right here in Nashville is you never know who
that's true
who's sitting next to you picking on a guitar.
And that says something about that store, because that's where the pros shop.
Absolutely.
Every time I've gone in there, there've been at least two or three people who've walked in. I was like, oh man, I know that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the pros shop, you know. So.
And I think it's because nobody's trying to shove anything down your throat.
Right. Or, and they know what they're talking about.
And they know what they're talking about. So hopefully you have a Sam Ash near you. If you don't, log on to www.samash.com or check them out on the Music Row Show.
There you go.
Enough. I think we've sufficiently.
Yes, we have.
Thank goodness. All right. Heino, please introduce this fantastic
guest. You know what? We've got an amazing guest here with us tonight. Raul Malo is joining us. He was born in Miami of Cuban parents, and Raul's probably best known as the founder and frontman of the Grammy-winning multi-platinum band The Mavericks, well-named considering the band leader's genre-spanning sensibility. You know, they do all kinds of stuff. They had one of country's most unique sounds. And you know what? It's been a band that's even come close to their vibe since. They started out in 1990. The Mavericks were one of the biggest bands of that decade, recording 7 albums and twice being named the top vocal group by the CMA, the Country Music Association. As a solo artist, Raul has released 5 albums, and he continues to break boundaries and find new fans all over the world. And tonight he's joining us here in studio. Raul Malo, welcome to the Music Row Show.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to say thank you a bunch of times. I'm really excited that you're here. This is very cool for me.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Now, when I think of areas of the country that are hotbeds for traditional country music and a place where young kids are embracing the legends of country music, man, Miami is just not even anywhere near that list.
Yeah,
so it should be.
It's right up there with New York, I guess. Yeah. You know?
where did your appreciation of the genre come from, and how did you get started in Miami?
I'm from Miami, first of all, and so we, you know, just started. I met Robert and Paul, and we were all in separate bands, And I always had an appreciation for country music and an appreciation for early rock and roll and rockabilly and all that stuff. And I always thought it'd be cool to kind of combine it all, you know. And you got to remember, too, that this wasn't like – I didn't sit around and think about all the genres that I'm going to try or incorporate into the songs, you know. It just kind of just happened. And I think part of that is being down in Miami, you didn't really have – Music Row to kind of take that out of you, so to speak. You know, you didn't have people going, well, you can't do that, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And we kind of did it. And you know, some of it worked, some of it didn't. But through that experimenting, you know, that and trying different things and playing out a lot, because we would play a lot in the local scene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just kind of hone your sound. And so by the time Nashville came calling, you know, we kind of had our little sound, you know, and mm-hmm. But you know, going back to the Miami scene, you know, we would play at rock clubs, and it was such an alternative to everything else going on.
So what was the scene right then? I mean, I'm trying to think back when that would have been.
Miami, Miami's a pretty, you know, as you can imagine, a pretty cosmopolitan place, and there's a lot of music, and that's one great thing. I grew up listening to everything, and so you'd have all the reggae bands come through Miami, all the Cuban bands come through Miami, all the South American bands come through Miami, and then, you know, you also have people forget that Homestead is very rural and country.
Right.
Perrine is very rural and country, and so you'd get a lot of country acts going through there as well. So, because I remember watching going to see Waylon Jennings when I was young with my parents, mm-hmm. you know, at the James L. Knight Center, and so, you know, there was a lot of music, and I never listened to it. I've never thought of music as, oh, that can't be done, or can't mix this, or can't mix that. We just kind of did it, and I still do it, you know, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And I always kind of, you know, I pay tribute to the way my parents raised me and how we listened to music around the house. You know, mm-hmm. I listened to what they played, and I liked it. I honestly, it wasn't the kind of thing where, oh, I hate my parents' music. No, I liked it. I mean, I was kind of a weird kid, I guess. I did like opera. You know, I thought it's definitely an acquired taste, but mm-hmm. but you know, there was a mutual respect, and they never said, "Oh, turn that junk down," or, you know, "Your music stinks." You know, no, they liked what I listened to as well. So, I don't know. I grew up appreciating all kinds of music and liking a lot of it, you know.
Well, that's great. Well, you started playing bass at some point, right? You were an early bass player. What attracted you to that instrument?
Necessity. There was plenty of guitar players, and we needed a bass player, so it just seemed like a good idea at the time. But, you know, honestly, it taught me a lot. It taught me about rhythms. It taught mm-hmm. me about music theory, because the bass really kind of holds it all together.
Right.
That's probably, let's not tell them that, but it's probably the most important position in a band.
We don't
want to tell them that.
It's true. I mean, if you've got a band playing and the bass player messes up, the whole thing goes south.
nobody knows what the bass player does till he screws up.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and when he does, then everybody knows. Yeah. You know.
Whereas if a singer messes up the words,
no, yeah.
Oh,
you,
no.
If you cover that, nobody pays attention.
Oh, no.
If the bass player.
I blame the bass player.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you would. That's true. No, but when you started the Mavericks early on with your partner Robert, he was a bass player too.
Yeah.
Did you have to arm wrestle for who wasn't going to be the bass player?
he actually wasn't. In his defense, he was a guitar player.
Okay.
But I was writing songs, and I was getting into the writing aspect of things, and just I wanted to play guitar because it just seemed easier to play rhythm guitar and sing your songs than it was to play bass. And so Robert took up the bass, cause you know, that we needed him to do that. So,
out of necessity. There you go. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Raul Malo here on the Music Row Show, News Radio 1510 WLAC.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show here on News Radio 1510 WLAC. The numbers to call in are 737-WLAC.
800-688-WLAC.
Or star WLAC on your Verizon Wireless. We're here with Raul Malo.
Yeah, that was All You Ever Do Is Bring Me Down. That was a big, big hit for them.
Oh, good stuff. And the voice, you know, you started playing instruments early on, but at what age did you kind of get the idea that your voice was something, you had something special going on vocally?
You know, that's an interesting question that I get asked a lot, and because it's not, you don't wake up one day and go, wow, I can sing, you mm-hmm. know, it's always a work in progress. It's always, you know, just, I think it takes time. I remember hearing early recordings, you know, of myself and the Mavericks, and I couldn't stand to hear it back, you know, it's just like, so to me, it takes a while to kind of get comfortable in your own skin and figure out how you want to sing and how you want to say a certain phrase and how you want to sing certain songs, and also figure out how to not hurt yourself, you know.
Right. That's a big
lot of,
one.
Yeah. A lot of singers, you know, burn themselves out, you know, singing really hard and singing night after night and not having the right gear or whatever, you know.
Did you go get training or?
No, I actually took vocal lessons long before the Mavericks, and the lady said I wasn't very good. And
thanks.
And so I was like, all right, you know. So she wasn't very good, or she said I wasn't very good, and that didn't stop me. I was delusional enough to think I'll show her, you know. But I just kept at it, you know. And then one day I found myself just kind of singing relatively easy, you know, and finding my way around a song and. You know, but it's still a work in progress. I mean, I'm always learning new ways to sing a song, or always learning a new way to sing a phrase, and some songs are really challenging. You know, I mean, I remember doing a gig with the Funk Brothers as one of the guest singers, and they were the backup Motown band. Mm. And you know, I've always, you know, at that point I was feeling pretty cocky, you know, and feel, oh, I can do this, you know. Man, I went and sang four nights with those guys, and it was humbling, really? Like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. And it was like, okay, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, you guys win, you know, because it was, and that was, you know, that was certainly one of the most challenging things I've ever done. You know, was try to sing those guys' songs, and so, you know, to me, it's always a learning thing. So, in answer to your question, I don't think. I had this epiphany one day, and you know the seas parted, and the angels came singing, and it's like, oh, you're singing now. No, right. I think it's just over time. You know, you just kind of figure out what you do.
But you have to notice at some point that people aren't wincing when you're singing. You know,
right? And, that I did notice.
Okay.
How could you not? Really? Yeah,
that I did notice. I have noticed a rather pleasant reaction when I sing. So it's not you know that kind of reinforces the behavior.
Exactly. Now back when you first got things going, am I right? Did you guys produce your own first album or
yeah.
How did that,
yeah. Oh yeah. 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 We had help from a local, music store owner mm-hmm. who he had a little independent label in Miami for local musicians to record their songs. And we went in and recorded this record and, you know, it was our first time in a studio. Didn't really know what we were doing, you know, but it was great fun, and that led to our connection with Music Row, because eventually that record made it up here, and it got some reviews in some of the local magazines, and before you know it, we were showcasing for the major labels, and it was a crazy exciting time, you know, fun time.
Wow, oh, man.
You feel like playing us a song?
Sure.
All right.
Cool.
Right here in the Sam Ash Studios tonight, live with Raul Malo.
I'll play a one that's kind of easy to warm up to. This one is this isn't on any record, but I always like these kind of songs. I like especially the old style kind of Brill Building style writing, you know. Oh, yeah. And so I wrote this one a couple years ago. Tell her you love her. On any day, enjoy the flowers that come in May. Don't wait for sunshine after the rain. Close the windows and open your best champagne. Show her you miss her from near or far. Send her a postcard from wherever you are. And if these things don't give you pause, make sure you do them just because. Just because.
Man. Woo! I'm not going to be able to wipe the dopey grin off my face for a while now. That was great.
I was going to say you. Never mind.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You know, I'm so happy right now that my wife doesn't listen to the show, because if she did, she'd punch me in the nose and say, "That's a romantic song,
yeah.
You
Why
idiot.
Did you ever
How come
write a song
you can't
like
write
that
something
for me?
Like that?" That was gorgeous.
Thanks.
Man. And, you know, you transitioned nicely from the bass to the guitar. That was some fine playing there, I tell you.
Oh, I don't know about that, but thank you, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's. Well,
let's talk about that, since you wrote that and
yeah, you know, pretty much wrote. The entire wrote or co-wrote just about all of the Mavericks.
Yes.
And most of your solo stuff as well, right?
Yeah, I did. Although, you know, lately the last three records that I've done solo have been covers, mm-hmm. one of them being a Christmas record. So people are begging for me to come out with some original stuff. So, but we just finished it, so it'll be out March 3rd of next year.
Of all original,
yeah, all original
music again.
Yes, all original material. But the last three have been, which has been a lot of fun, you know, making those records. But
After Hours was a
collection of some of my favorite country songs. But we kind of did them a little differently. We kind of did them as if we were a sort of a jazz trio, you know, recording in some smoky room in New York or something, you know, just to. Because I've always felt that music is so related, and we're so quick to point out the differences, you know. But to me, rock and roll and country and is certainly, you know, a steel guitar away, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
From you know, a country song is a steel guitar away from being a rock and roll song, and vice versa. And certainly some of the old. The songs that we picked for that album, like Welcome to My World and For the Good Times, and we even did a couple of Dwight songs, you know, they they're so well written that you can do them in just about any style. And that was kind of what we wanted to do with that record, is just kind of show these great, beautiful old songs in a different light, you know.
Yeah, you do a great version of Tears, Pocket of a Clown.
Pocket of a Clown,
Dwight Yoakam's song. Yeah,
thanks. Yeah, that was one that I really enjoyed arranging, because, you know, that it's challenging to take a new song that people know and you know, kind of do it in that style. But but Dwight's stuff is always classic sounding anyways, and so and there, you know, to me, a good song is a good song.
Yeah.
And you can do them, you can dress them up in all kinds of outfits, you know, and it's still a good song. So.
Yeah. Wow. When since you have a new album coming out of more new material, I'm curious, when you look back at the stuff that you were originally writing with the Mavericks, mm-hmm. and you know, that was the first stuff that was actually getting radio play and stuff, how have you seen yourself evolve ever as a writer, and how would you describe your initial writing style and then looking at how it's changed?
Wow. Well, my initial writing style, I would say, is probably, you know, I guess like anybody's, it's real derivative, you know, and you're always, you know, you're learning. So you're, but as time went on and I did it more, you know, and I wrote more and more stuff, and we got up to Nashville and I met some of my favorite writers up here and worked with them, people like Costas and Harlan Howard and Al Anderson and those kind of guys, you know, they've done pretty well, you know.
Yeah.
I really learned how to craft a song, and I'd say that I really didn't learn how to write a song. I mean, I had a good idea of how to write a song, but I did learn a lot writing with those guys. But I, you know, having said that, you also, as a writer, and I say this to young writers all the time, you know, write by yourself, you know, really let your point of view get across, you know, and don't let anybody dilute what you're trying to do. And certainly we do a lot of co-writing here in town, and most of it is really cool, but a lot of times I think what happens is, you know, if you have a set, you know, if you have a mindset or something to say, a lot of times, you know, in the co-writing situations, that will get washed away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, you know, obviously there's exceptions to that, you know. And so, but if you learn to write by yourself, then you can really bring something to the table when you write with other people, you know. That's really more the point, you know. And so, you know, in Nashville, is certainly there's no shortage of songwriters here, and there's plenty of great ones too. So.
Well, I heard they were running out. That's why I moved here. you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read a review of some of your work with the Mavericks, and one reviewer said that your music proved that it's still possible to create an engaging and idiosyncratic country album while signed to a Nashville division of a major label. How hard was that to pull off? I mean, did you have pressure to be more mainstream?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you know, those days were, you know, were certainly interesting, you know, and we were this close to really not making that second record for MCA,
really,
which was What a Crying Shame, which is the one that really got everything
started.
That was
a great album.
Yeah, thank you. And that's the one that really got everything started. Because after we had recorded the first one, the label wanted us to, you know, get with all the heavy hitter songwriters and work with all the heavy hitter mainstream producers, and you know, and not use any of the band musicians, just basically use studio musicians, and you know, just do what they normally
do it the Nashville way.
Yeah, do
wow.
it the Nashville way.
Yeah. So they wanted a band to not use the band.
Yeah, and so they wanted to do a Nashville record, and we just basically told them, well, I can't say it on the air, you know, but we told them to you know, go fly a kite, and we're not. If that's what you want us to do, then just let us go back to Miami. You know, I'm perfectly willing. You know, you have to be willing to kind of, you know, show people that you are willing to cut off your nose despite your face.
You know, and I think a lot of people might not be that brave. You know, right. You'd be like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know that I'd call it brave. It's more stupid.
No,
you know?
Well, yeah.
And,
not when you look at the
young,
end result, though.
You know, well, the end result is, you know, and I tell this a lot to people. You know, especially young folks starting out. You know, you got to ask yourself, you know, do you want to be famous or do you want to be an artist? Because there is a difference. Mm-hmm. And I knew long ago that I wanted to be an artist. And I don't, you know, I'm not the end-all know-it-all, but I knew what I wanted to do and I knew what I didn't want to do. And certainly, you know, making that kind of record and calling it the Mavericks was a bit of a sham, I thought. And so, yeah, just let us go. And so we were that close to really not making that second record. And
what finally changed things?
Well, I think they changed their minds. And you know, I don't know. They must have had some meeting where they saw the light, or I don't know. Somebody maybe our manager threatened them with bodily harm, or gave them an offer they couldn't refuse, or you know, I don't know. They put us together with Don Cook, and who was certainly a hot producer at the time. But I met
Brooks and Dunn, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Brooks and Dunn was a huge success of his at the moment, and you know, but I met Don, and we hit it off right away. We're still friends to this day, and I told him the kind of record I wanted to make, and I played him the songs, and you know, played him the demos, and. Off we were to record What a Crying Shame. And, you know, as the rest is pretty much history after that. You know, we that record took off. And it was still, you know, people think that we've had number ones and this and that. We've had one top 10 single, you know, and that was All You Ever Do Is Bring Me Down.
Mm-hmm.
And
love that song.
So all these other songs, people are always surprised to hear that, no, we never really had any number one records or singles or anything like that.
But you had platinum albums because you...
Yeah, well, we toured extensively,
right?
And the records were good, you know, that I thought. You know, they were just good records, you know. They weren't just filled with singles written by the producer or the mm-hmm. co-producer, and, you know, so they were actual albums. And I'm proud of those records, you know, they were good records.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Go ahead, man.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Raul Malo formerly of the Mavericks here on the Music Row Show, News Radio 1510 WLAC. Welcome back to the Music Row Show here on News Radio 1510 WLAC, brought to you this hour by Sam Ash Music Stores.
Yay.
That's actually the title track of the album we were just talking about.
That's
What a
right.
Crying Shame.
That's right. There it is.
Cool.
There it is.
Now, at some point, you started producing.
Yeah.
Now, how did that come about? How did that transition happen?
Well, I always found myself kind of doing that anyways on the records, you know. Always kind of directing traffic anyways, and I thought, well, you know, I can do this. This is fun, you know, and I enjoy working in the studio. I enjoy working with musicians and arranging songs and just making music and being in a creative environment, you know. So I enjoy that a lot. You know, I don't do it as often as I'd like because I'm busy touring or making my own records, but I every once in a while I get to produce something else, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Would you like to sing us another one?
Sure, I'll play another song.
Cool.
This is off my I did a solo record called Today, mm-hmm. and it's like this. Lonely nights gone by. things go wrong. Only memories remain. Now you're gone and things have changed. People
were playing it, so I was expecting you to like whip out and smash the guitar, you know, like you were on fire there. That was awesome.
We're going to take a quick break. That's perfect timing. We'll be right back with more Raul Malo on the Music Row Show here on News Radio 1510 WLAC.
Okay, welcome back to the Music Row Show here on News Radio 1510 WLAC, brought to you this hour by Sam Ash Music Stores. We're here with the great Raul Malo, and you're hearing him sing right there in the background with There Goes My Heart.
Now, you had referenced, I know you'd referenced his five solo albums, and one of them was a holiday, a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, and I think I heard you mentioning to Jed that you have a tour coming up with that.
Yeah, we're kicking off our Christmas tour right after Thanksgiving, or a week after.
I thought you were going to say right after Christmas.
Yeah, that'd be a heck of a Christmas tour. An insane one. What's wrong with these people?
Nobody's buying tickets.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We recorded two records out at my bass player studio. Jay Weaver has a great studio out in the country, and we recorded After Hours, and right at back to back, we recorded the Christmas record because New Door Universal thought it'd be a great idea for us to put out a Christmas record, and I thought it was great too because I had always wanted to record one and I had never done it before, and so there was always all these songs that I wanted to do, And we finally had the opportunity to do that, and we had a blast doing it. Of course, we recorded it in June 2 years ago, and it was just the hottest June we've Merry ever had. And so it was an incredible juxtaposition, you know, to walk in from 90 degree, you know, 100% humidity weather to record a Christmas record.
Wow.
But it's been great. Last year we had our first Christmas tour. And in support of the record, and it was great fun. We had a blast doing it, and this year we're going at it again, playing even bigger places, and having a lot more fun. So we're trying to hit a couple of different spots that we didn't hit last year, you know, just mm-hmm. Because I know people celebrate Christmas everywhere,
sure.
not just on the East Coast or which is where we went the first year,
okay.
Just up to the East Coast. So we're doing some shows in Texas as well. I mean, you know, you have a limited amount of time because you only got like
can't do a world Christmas tour,
you know.
Anything local?
No. Well, what I like to do is I always like to play locally in town before we go out on the road. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a couple of shows booked September 26th and 27th and 3rd in Lindsley.
That's right.
And which will be nice because I think in October we've got a tour lined up for the West Coast but that may change as well. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. But so we've got a couple of shows at 3rd and Lindsley here, and
right.
like Jed said earlier on the broadcast, you know, we're playing the Americana, their closing ceremonies, their
that's
closing
right.
yeah. show.
Glenn Campbell, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be a great show to be at.
Let's get some shameless plugs. How do people buy your music? How can they find you online?
Well, RaulMalo.com. That's RaulMalo.com is the website. That has all the tour information and little, you know, tidbits. And there's a form on there that you can sign up and complain or talk about how great I am or how awful I am. Or you can say whatever you want.
How yeah. awfully great you are.
Yeah,
there you go. Let me do that right now.
But you can also iTunes has a lot of my stuff. But the website, if you go to the website, that takes you to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and, you know, wherever else they'll sell my records. So,
okay.
You know.
Well, you know, we've really had a great time.
Thank you.
There's so many other things we wanted to talk to you about. Unfortunately, we ran out of time. But
this goes fast, doesn't it?
You know,
man, it does. I thought, oh my gosh, an hour. You know, talking about what I do, I'm like, oh, these guys are going to be bored in 5 minutes. You know.
Not at all. You know what? We got a little something for you. Just to thank you for coming in.
We do.
Oh,
some of our sponsors have helped us out with a little gift bag for you.
Goodies.
It's a Global Motorsports Audi. I cannot
right.
believe that, man.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah.
Wow, look at that.
You got some stuff from Global Motorsports, D'Addario, Planet Waves, and
guys.
Of course, Diamond Gusset Jeans.
Diamond Gusset Jeans, most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Very nice.
Boy, that was a nice little...
This is a nice radio show.
Well, you know.
Tell all your friends.
We do what we can.
I got one of those, the Planet Waves tuner. Look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
there's some strings and some stuff and... Capo and
attention, all you musicians out there. This is what you get if you're
yeah.
you come in.
Well, hey, next week we have Arlo Smith.
Arlo Smith,
who,
yeah.
He's a great writer.
Wrote Mayberry.
Yeah. Also played football for two different colleges, West Virginia and Marshall. So we're going to
sure.
sit here and talk football and
okay.
and maybe some music, too.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
But Raul, thank you so much for
thank
being on
guys.
The show, and we'd love to have you back sometime, and maybe
thank
sometime
you.
In March, and
when your album comes out. Yeah.
Absolutely, I'll come back and visit either close to release date or after or sometime.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
This is the Music Row Show on News Radio 1510. See you next week.